And so indeed we follow where our captain has trod. Our hymn reminds us of that. This Veterans Day, I think, is a whisper to all of us to consider ourselves enlisted in the armed forces, in the loving armed forces of the one who let his arms and hands be nailed to the cross on our behalf. I'm calling today's message, Christians, pleasing our captain, because in reality, Jesus is the one that is our captain. He is the one that we follow. He is the one who calls us to say, come, follow me. Captain also happens to be the one rank that is in all of the armed services. It's in the Marines, it's in the Air Force, the Navy, Coast Guard, and of course in the Army as well. And so as we try to tie in this idea with Veterans Day and with Jesus inviting us to follow our captain, we hope that we can be guided by God to think more, to reflect on more, and then to walk more in a life that is pleasing to Him, to His glory. I'd like to read the one verse from 2 Timothy from our epistle that I think gets at this idea, and I invite you, if you can read it from the screen, to read that along with me or find it there in your Bible handout. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim or her aim is to please the one who enlisted him. That's God's word for us this morning as we go into this idea. We don't get tangled up. We avoid those entanglements, and yet it seems so easy for that to happen, doesn't it? For us to get focused in on those things that we worry about, get focused on those things we get excited about, and we can find ourselves tangled up, even if it's just to a small amount, a little bit of drag that just pulls us off course. You know, as a person who was trying to help me understand sailing, who had been in the Navy, and here he was trying to take a little sunfish sailboat and teach me how to do this. If you're off course even 1 degree, then over the course of a mile, a 2 mile long journey out to the island you're trying to get to, you're going to miss it by about 300 yards. It doesn't take much for us to get entangled and to miss out. And yet we see in the first widow in the Old Testament reading, we see in the second widow that Jesus references in the gospel reading, that we are invited to a life of trust and action. That's the path that helps us avoid the entanglements. That we trust the word of God spoken to us, and we act then out of that faith and that trust on that word. The widow does that as she's told by Elijah, yes, you are very low on food supplies. It's absolutely true. But God has said you're going to have enough food supplies. And so I ask you, as a sign of your trust in that word from God, make a cake for me first, even though you think you don't have much, and then provide for your family. And as she did that, as she heard that word from God and trusted it and acted on it, she had enough food to care for her entire family for many months in the midst of a famine and a drought that was going on. In the same way, the widow that Jesus references, he talks first in judgment against those who are not following the path of trusting and obeying, of those who are tangled up and just really kind of struggling. He talks, and I wish my picture was a little bit easier to see, but if you get a chance to maybe look at this after the service, what you see is a widow with her open hands, with her offering opened eagerly and thankfully and in trust to God. And behind her are three of those scribes, three of well-to-do folks. And the common thing about them, which may be hard to see from the scale of the picture, is the clutching of their hands around their money bags. There's a look of worry on their faces, but that'd be a lot harder to see. But I hope you can at least see the clutching, like, oh my goodness, how can I give any of this? How can I give any of it away? I've worked so hard to achieve it all. God has blessed me so much. I want to hold on to all every bit of it. This clutching and holding on to betrays that they are not trusting, that they're not thankful. And even though they may pour in more than she did, her sacrificial act, Jesus elevates. He judges them for the way they devour widows' houses when the temple should actually be a place a widow is coming for assistance. And instead, they are condemned by Jesus, and she is lifted up because of her trust and her action to give all that she had. This widow is not clutching, but opening her hand. And I'd ask you, think about this. Think about reaching in. I remember having a cookie jar in my house, all right? When you reached in with the cookie jar and you grabbed that with your fist and your fist was closed around it, you couldn't get your fist back out of the cookie jar. I think my mom must have had a pottery person make it just like that to teach us that lesson. So it was with a gentle pull that we could get out that cookie. When our fists are closed tight, we're not very open to receiving more from God, are we? But if we are open, if we are trusting, and we are obeying and then and acting in that trust, there is always more God wants to put into our hands. Always more He wants to put into our lives. Always more blessings that He wants to offer to the one who has that open heart and who trusts and acts in that trust. Well, what exactly are some of the actions that we can do? What can a soldier of the cross, someone following our captain, what can we do to please our captain? What can we do to show him our gratefulness for his great sacrifice on the cross? Well, the scripture that we read says that a soldier, or we can think of anyone in any of the armed services, doesn't get entangled in civilian pursuits. Again, that idea of entanglement, of those things that can distract us. Is there anybody here that wishes we still had political ads running on TV right now? Amen, right? You know what I'm talking about. That entanglement is done. Is there anyone out in the California fires who managed to all their loved ones escape, who would trade any of their children or loved ones for the house that's burnt down to ashes? No. Because they know what was most important. And they were not entangled in that. They escaped with their lives. And when we can put things in those kind of terms, we realize so much of what we worry about, so much of what we focus on, so much of, you know, well, oh, well, tomorrow I got this and I got that and I got to do this and that, that gets us all wound up. We miss the voice of our captain saying to us, "You are a loved child of God. You are mine, and I will never leave you nor forsake you. You are one from whom I will never let anything ever snatch you out of my hand." Don't let sin, don't let worry entangle you. But instead, what is our aim? To please the one who enlisted us. To please the one who said, "I want you in my family. I want you in that army of God, in that triumphant host." Not that we're ever going to go out and at the point of a spear or at the edge of a gun ever force someone into the kingdom of God. But when we are in His army of love, His army of sacrifice, if we are following in the ways that our captain followed in, then living to please Him, we will make such a difference in this world. The one who enlisted us has said, "I love you. I wash you of your sins. I choose you to be one of God's own people. I invite you to come and follow me, and no cross you will ever bear will be heavier than the one I have borne for you. No sacrifice you will ever have to make will ever be greater than the one I made on your behalf, and no reward will ever be missed." We avoid these entanglements, and I think the Apostle Paul said it so well to the young pastor Timothy when he was talking to him, this idea of living to please him. Can we break that down and think, well, who are our other options if we're not living to please Jesus? One thing is we have to be living to please ourselves, right? I'm looking out for me, myself, and I. I want the good food that I like. I want to taste this and that. I want to live for me. Imagine an army, a navy, an air force, a marine force full of people who were saying, "Oh, I want to do what makes me happy." Imagine our country not having the freedom that we enjoy if they had not been willing to follow the officers, the sergeants, the others who had enlisted them, who had trained them, who had said, "This is the plan of what we're going to do to defend our nation, to establish freedom and peace in other parts of the world." We can't just live to please ourselves. When we do that, when we're just clutching on to what we want, we're going to hold on to what we want to please ourselves, we miss out And the God who with the open hands that took the nails is reaching out and offering peace to us and a new purpose for life. Our other option besides not pleasing Jesus or pleasing ourselves would be to please others. And that's what the scribes that Jesus condemned were trying to do. Oh, I'm going to make some big flowering prayers in the marketplace so I can please you. And so you think I'm really great stuff. I'm going to wear my best flowing robes because when you see me, you go, oh, wow, he, she must be really special because they got the best flowing robes out there. When we are trying to please others, it is such a trap because you'll always have to do more the next day. You'll always have to hide a little bit of some flaw or insecurity or weakness that you have. You'll have to make your robes flow that much better and your prayers that much more flowery to distract them from the flaws inside of you. But if instead we live to please Him, then we hear His truth say, flaws, sins, your past, there's no condemnation for the ones who are in Christ Jesus, who are following after our captain in that way. We aim to please Him and not please others. We don't worry about making a big show of our offerings and sacrifices. And instead, we come with open hands to give and with open hands to receive. And when we do that, what happens? Well, we're strengthened. I love how, again, Timothy is encouraged by the Apostle Paul, and I think all of us are encouraged. My child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strengthened by the fact that you don't have to do anything to earn being in His army, His navy, His force, His family. But He has done it all for us. That's grace. That He has given that absolute gift to us. This grace that even when we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. Anytime we've ever lived for ourselves or lived in fear of what others think of us, we're really being faithless. We're not trusting that we're supposed to be listening to and living for our captain. And yet He remains faithful, and He still gives grace, and He still dies for the faithless, and He still offers love and forgiveness of sins and a clean slate and an invitation back into His army, into His family, strengthened by that grace. I don't have to be perfect. I just have to be His. I don't have to be perfect. I just have to listen to His voice and live to please Him. And as I get incrementally better at that, as I get trained in how to do that, trained in His righteousness, trained and strengthened by that grace, then I too will be able to live with Him and endure with Him. And then reign with Him, as that word says us. That's the gospel, friends. He was born of David, raised from the dead, and that is the gospel that He invites us to come and live a life that pleases Him as we hear His truth and we put it into action. May God help each of us to do that, and may He get the glory. Amen.